We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, Goop.
Steiny.
The thought.
For me. She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Good morning to everybody out there. Monday is here, 10 days away from Major League Baseball returning. And, of course, the Giants will be in this doubleheader of a nightcap. Yankees Nationals in the first game. It'll be Giants Dodgers. I got Shasky back from Matt Stein. It's Dirty Guru Johnson's in the building. How's the weekend, boys?
Great. I had a great weekend. I don't know about you guys, but it was awesome. Went into went up and saw my nephews and my nieces, and they got to meet the new puppy, and it was a good time. Got some sun. It was in the 90s up in the 707, say it backwards. So, yeah, we're 10 days away from baseball, baby. How can you not be excited?
Man, 10 days. I just think when we started this, fellas, in March, and it was all doom and gloom, and rightfully so, and it's still out there. But you're telling me Norm Nixon, Shasky, that was his number 10. I knew you knew that, Bonte. 10 days away, and we got ball. I'm all for it. And I want to say this because I know you mean it, Bonte. You asked me what I did this weekend. I heard you, Shasky. Me and Norm, that's my pops, we had one-on-one time, and we just went Netflix crazy. And I want to say this. I watched Spencer for Hire with Mark Wahlberg. And I'll say this. We got the Denzels, the De Niros, the Pacinos, all the Russell Crowes, the great actors. But don't sleep on Mark Wahlberg. My boy is a damn good actor. I'm going to leave you with that.
Stop it.
He gave me a
same role.
In the same role.
Same role every single film. Come on, man.
Let's go back to the laughs.
That's how we start the show off today. Mark Wahlberg in the same category as Denzel Washington? Are you out of your mind? There,
but you know, a couple steps back, Shasky, but y'all killed me. The same role. And I just thought, he does play the same role.
He said he was a diehard Boston fan. He said he was a diehard Patriot fan. This dude left the Atlanta Super Bowl, okay, in the fourth quarter because he said the game was over. Who does that? Who goes to the Super Bowl and leaves? And who says they're a diehard fan and the team makes the greatest comeback of all time and you've left the building? That's
wow.
Unbelievable. That's
a
bad
look. Point. Yeah,
it's a bad look for Mark Wahlberg now. What's not a bad look is our top 10 list. Now, depending on who you ask, unless you're Joe Fortenbaugh or O'Neal, everybody's going to say, okay, we can respect that list. Now, the fans today we announced at 8:30, number 10 on the fans' top 10 list, the ultimate list here dictated by the fans here. And number 10 was announced at 8:30. Number 9 will be announced at 3:30 on Damon Radulkowski. Announced at number 10 was Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner, folks. Made the fans' top 10 list at number 10. Yeah, give some applause there. Three-time World Series winner. Now an Arizona Diamondback. Was a Giants ace from basically 2013, 2014, and on. But Madison Bumgarner, fellas, and I know, Guru, you had Matt Bum on your top 10 list. I believe you had him at number 8, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
How you guys and feeling about this, the top 10 list with the ultimate fans?
Shasky, I did this list, Bonte, and, you know, it wasn't, my list is better than anybody else's. It's just perspective. And again, I left a lot of great people out, great athletes, and I sleep better at night because I know I said I predicated it on who I saw. But Mad Bum, I know this may sound crazy to you fellas. He's not a lot of other pitchers, but he's created his own lane. And what he's done, and a big part of what he's done that just resonated with me was what you talked about, Bonte, 8 career postseason wins, what he did in 14. But he meant more to that team just as being that horse than in 14. And I don't want to say I'm happy, but Shasky, you're this type too. I know you're a thinker. You're going to be like, well, what are the ages of these people voting? They're all ages. I posted to my Facebook page and people shared their top 10. I feel good that I'm not the only one trying to give Mad Bum the flowers. I feel like he's deserved. And I don't feel like this is, you know, a pitcher being overrated for the totality of what he's done in a Giant uniform.
No, I don't think he's being overrated. I have no issue with Madison Bumgarner being on the list. I mean, he deserves recognition, right? We obviously think that he deserves recognition. Where I kind of ask the question is this an all-time list or is this a last 25 years type of a list? Because I do think that there is some recency bias, and we can get into some of the names because I jotted down just when I heard that Madison Bumgarner was going to be 10th overall, I jotted down some names of other comparable pitchers in the Bay Area in the history. Again, all time. And I do think, you know, the longevity, the totality, all those things factor in. What Mad Bum did in the playoffs in 2014, we're probably never going to see that again. Okay? It was incredible. It was unbelievable. He's a legend for that alone. Greatest of all time, though, is not about a accomplishment or an achievement. It's about the totality of the career and the impact and the long-term sustainability. And Mad Bum's just, I felt like he just didn't do it long enough, and that's not his fault. It's just kind of the reality.
Yeah, Goo, Mad Bum, look, if I had to redo my 10, Reggie Jackson and Willie McCovey would be two guys I'd be looking at to take out of my 10. Other than that, I'm good with my 10. But I'd have to insert Steve Young. I've had to insert maybe Kenny Stabler, Art Schell, Gene Upshaw. Jim Plucky gets consideration. Chris Mullin gets consideration when you think about the hell. Nate Thurman. Nobody's even talked about Nate Thurman. Nate Thurman is a legend out here. And you think about the double-doubles he averaged. He's one of the guys who would block Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's shots. We have Jim Barnett on here every Thursday. He knows all about Nate Thurman. So Mad Bum, even if I was to take Reggie Jackson and Willie McCovey out, I'd have trouble putting Mad Bum there. Now, I respect the 3 championships. I really do. I respect what he did in 2014. You look at the World Series, 21 innings pitched, only give up 9 hits, 17 strikeouts, an 0.43 ERA. That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. But I also look at 2010, and I look at 2012. St. Louis, he was not good in that series. Got rocked against St. Louis. ERA was over 14 in that series. Cincinnati, he got rocked in that series. So you look at the 2012 postseason, and if you take away game 2 of the World Series against the Tigers, his postseason in 2012 was a disaster, an absolute disaster. So you look at the Cubs series, 2016, 5 innings pitched, 7 hits. Now, I know he was great in the wild card game against the New York Mets, but he did not show up against the Cubs. He did not show up against the Cubs in that game. So I just thought 10 was a little strong for Mad Bum, and I think there's some recency bias there when it comes to Madison Bumgarner.
Which is understandable. Like, again, whenever you have these lists, everyone thinks the thing that they just saw was the greatest thing that they've ever seen. And I understand that. Let me throw a couple names at you guys, because these are just some of the greatest pitchers that I deem in Bay Area history. Okay. Dave Stewart, born and raised in Oakland, obviously was a 2-time ALCS MVP, has the World Series MVP, only a 1-time All-Star. But his playoff moments, they stretch many, many years. And in some of the greatest moments in the 80s in baseball was him beating
Roger Clemens. He didn't make one list, Chasky. One list.
No, and it feels criminal, and also because he's from Oakland. Like, I do think that that matters, right? Being born and raised here. That's what helped, for me, at least in my thought process, elevate Barry Bonds, for example. The other guy that I want to name, the 10-time All-Star, led the league in ERA and in wins, and that's Juan Marichal. I mean, Juan Marichal, I know he doesn't have any playoff moments, but this is an era when only 2 teams from each division would make the playoffs. Right. So it's not like the wild card era where we can amplify playoff moments. The other guy that you have to bring in, and this is just, in my opinion, he has to be referenced, and no one referenced him, it's Vida Blue. The guy wins MVP and a Cy Young in the same year. I mean, he's got over 220 wins. Probably one of the most electrifying, greatest pitchers that never gets talked about. We talk about Dontrell Willis more than we talk about Vida Blue, and I love Dontrell Willis, but look at the longevity and the impact. Was a part of three different World Series champions. Vida Blue is somebody, I think he,
I'm gonna say this.
If I was just weighing the two of them, I think Vida Blue has the best case for being on the list more than Madison Bumgarner. But again, I'm not mad at Mad Bum.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, and Bate, and I hear you, Shasky, you make good points. I'm not mad at anybody's list, but I want to ask you guys this, because we had a very passionate conversation about Tim Lincecum on Friday, and I love the freak. But, Shasky, I feel like you guys aren't giving the same energy in regard to not explaining, but taking into account that his career was shortened. It wasn't that long, and I'm asking, just for Mad Bum, use that same intensity for Mad Bum, because, Bonte, you are right when you cite his so-so outings in the postseason against the Cardinals. But I'll ask you guys this. When we judge everybody, I do, on their best day in a Giant uniform, your life on the line, you give the ball to Vida, it sounds like Marichal, Bumgarner, or Lincecum. And the fact that you could even make that list, you can't go wrong with whoever your answer would be, fellas.
Right, no doubt, no doubt.
And like, it ain't like he's all the way in left field, you know? Yeah, I ain't telling you it's Vogel's song, you know?
No doubt. And Mad Bum, like
Shasky, you got the hair going this morning. You look good. Look, yeah, Barry Zito.
It's not criminal that Madison Bumgarner's on this list. He's, I mean, if you had a top 20 Bay Area athletes of all time, I think Mad Bum may be a lock to make that list.
Okay.
He may be a lock to make that list, Mad Bum, because you can't. What he did in 2014 is something. I mean, you know, Earl Hershiser in 88, he had the 50-plus inning streak of just shut out baseball.
Yeah. The bulldog.
He was an absolute bulldog. But what Bub did on short rest, on short notice, to carry
man.
I mean, he literally carried a pitching staff. Bochy couldn't give the ball to Hudson. He couldn't give the ball to Jake Peavy. The arms in the bullpen were shot. Bad Bub carried a team to a championship. Literally, one man. But you know, we bring up Dave Stewart. We bring up all these other guys, Catfish Hunter. It's not egregious to have Mad Bums on this list.
No.
Little surprised, but you know what? I respect it.
But don't you guys both think that I think history has forgotten some of these great pitchers? Like, we never reference Juan Marichal. He's got a statue in front of the stadium. That's never reference Vida Blue. The guy's on our television doing pregame shows on the local network, and he's one of the most electrifying, greatest athletes in Bay Area history that never gets brought up. Obviously, Dave Stewart, we've had on the air a lot of times.
Four-time 20-game winner.
20 games, awesome. Four times.
I didn't even know that until he said it to you guys on your great interview you had with him.
I mean, he was awesome. I mean, you can also make an argument for Eckersley, right? I know we don't look at closers that same way, but as far as the evolutionary piece, like, Eckersley is one of those guys that revolutionized how we look at bullpens. 150 wins as a starter, 150 wins as a closer. He deserves his recognition. I know we go, the highest of the highs, the lowest of lows. He did close out a World Series. So, look. Again, I love Mad Bum. Mad Bum's a legend. There's enough Giants fans out here that'll tell you all about Mad Bum. I just did think it was appropriate to reference some of the OGs.
You know what? Dennis Eckersley's a name nobody's brought up over the last 3 weeks. Dennis Eckersley is really interesting because you think about the walks. The dude gave up 16 walks in three seasons. 16 walks in three seasons, fellas. I mean, it's just sick. That is just downright sick. You look at 89, 1.56 ERA, 90, 0.61, 91, 2.96, and then 1.91. That five-year stretch for Eck as a closer, maybe one of the greatest five-year stretches as a closer in Major League Baseball history. No doubt about it here. We got some breaking news, fellas, real quick. In the NBA, Russell Westbrook of the Houston Rockets has come out and said he has tested positive for COVID-19. He is right now in quarantine. Oh, wow. I think he'll join his teammates in Orlando in a couple of weeks. But Russell Westbrook, fellas, has tested positive for COVID-19.
Goo, I want to ask you specifically because you love baseball, and I'm not that Bonte doesn't, but are you surprised nobody, not even anybody, put Brian Wilson even in the mentions? He's not anywhere. Like, no one even had him in honorable mention lists. Because he's somebody, he was, when his star came across, people loved him. He had that Q rating that Dibs loved so much, but man, he fell off hard.
And I'll say this, and I think the fall had something to do with it, because what Bonte just went on about Eckersley was spot on. And I'm being real here. I know y'all, come on, Goo, Monday morning. I feel a little embarrassed that I didn't even think of Eck. But to Wilson, I think he was more of a fad. And I don't want to sound like I'm taking anything away from him. He was at times dominant, Bonte, but he was more of a fad. And that fall, it may not really have been a fall. He was just, you know, the uptick in his career during that time with the Giants.
Outlier.
I mean, he was exactly. Great work.
And you know what? I mean, Brian Wilson didn't even cross my brain. I don't think if I wrote down 100 names, I'm writing down Rod Beck. I'm writing down Rob Nen. I'm writing down Steve Bedrosian. And I get it. Brian Wilson has the ring. Yeah, I'll write him down before
Bedrosian.
Brian Wilson was a flash in the pan, and boom, it was over for him. And then the way it ended, him walking across the diamond, shouting out Larry Bear, it was just a clown show. He became, you know what? Brian Wilson became a clown. He became
that
a character.
Was bad,
he became the machine. And he lost touch of what he really was. He lost touch of reality. So Brian Wilson, he's nowhere close.
He wanted the 15 minutes to be 25 minutes, Bonte. That's what it's
saying. Hey, fellas, if you do a top 100 list, then maybe he gets honorable mention. But this is the top 10. This is the greatest of the greats. Yeah. Brian Wilson was nowhere near these guys.
So back to Madison Bumgarner. Him at number 10. Too low, too high, just right. Where you guys land?
I think just right. I'm going to say just right in the grand scheme of things and hearing your guys' list and everybody's. I just think it's an honor for him to be on this list because there's some things that you could dock him for, per se. But to me, fellas, I think it's right. I think they got it right.
Maybe a bit high. Maybe a bit high. But you know what? Dave Stewart has a hell of an argument to be on this list.
That's
if you're going to put Matt Baum on this list. Dave Stewart, you look at the numbers, you look at the scowl, and I get
what do you
the
think it is about him?
I don't know. He's just forgotten. And people, it was before Twitter. It was before social media. Huh? Late 80s, early 90s.
Expansion, before expansion of playoffs, too?
Exactly. That's a great point. When you had the two playoff teams, one in the NL West, one in the AL, or AL, NL East, I should say, and then, of course, in the American League, you had no wild card, so... I don't know why he gets forgotten. I honestly don't.
You think he had a bunch of other stars, maybe? You know, the Splash Brothers. I mean, Splash Brothers, the Bash Brothers, Ricky Henders, Tony LaRue. I don't know, but it usually doesn't work that way. You think he had to share too much and he got overlooked?
I also think there's a factor of him playing for Toronto, even though he won in Toronto and he was awesome, but because he bounced around a little, I don't know. He gets forgotten. It's unfair. So it's a little high for you. Bumgarner's a little high, B.
He's a little high. It's not egregious. I understand why people have Bumgarner. It's tough to overlook that. I mean, he has an argument. He has an argument. I mean, I can see why people want to put Bumgarner in over Willie McCovey. A lot of people probably, like myself, didn't see Willie McCovey play. But you look at the accolades, you look at the numbers, you know what he means to the region. And there's no doubt what Matt Bum meant to Oracle Park. He became must-watch TV. The scowl, the snot rockets, him barking at guys, which kind of turned me off a little bit when he's barking at guys like Carlos Gomez or Yasiel Puig, and he's mad about them not running things out. Or who was it for the Dodgers, Max Muncy, when Bumgarner's telling him run.
He hit it to the ocean.
Yeah, he hit it to the damn water. So, go get
it out of the ocean.
Go fetch it out of the ocean.
That's what he said.
Exactly what he said. He wore a T-shirt about it. He trolled him with the T-shirt. So, look, it's not too high. It's not too low. I'm fine with it. I'm not gonna lose my cool over Bad Bum being number 10.
You know, I love it. I love that he's being, and I didn't have him in my top 10. I love that he's being recognized. But more than anything, it just re-emphasizes that I'm sad he's not on the Giants anymore. Like, I'm legitimately sad. He was one of my favorite players in Giants history. The fact that they could have kept him at a pretty reasonable price point. I know this team isn't going anywhere. I just love Madison Bumgarner. I wanted him to be a Giant for life. I thought he would age well, like an Andy Pettit, where he would be actually better into his 30s than maybe he would have been in his 20s. I'm sad to see him go, guys. And I think the fact that he is a free agent and he left and he went to the Arizona Diamondbacks, I just couldn't put him on my list, but I'm happy he's on our list as a station. I am. I'm really happy that he's being recognized.
Yeah, hey, cool.
Here's the thing. Just going to say real quick, it also speaks to how many great athletes we've been spoiled with here in the Bay Area. Think about all the athletes, great stars. And we didn't even talk about anybody from the San Jose Sharks. We haven't mentioned many guys from the Oakland Raiders, the Niners. I mean, there's just a lineage of great players that have come through the Bay Area. And shit, man, since the 50s, man. Think about that. The Bay has just been great and littered with talent. So it's the great of the greats. And we're lucky. We're lucky to see Matt Bone. We're lucky to see Dave Stewart. We're lucky to see Eck. I know some of the OGs are looking to see Vita Blue and all those guys, Catfish Runner. So I got no problem with that. Real quick, though, 888-957-9570. Want to know what the fans think about Mad Bum, because it was your list. Are you guys happy with Mad Bum being at number 10 here on your top 10 all-time greatest Bay Area athletes list? 888-957-9570. We'll talk about the Washington football team changing their name at some point this week. We'll get into that in just a second. But Russell Westbrook, fellas, this is the biggest name. Or outside of Kevin Durant, this is the biggest name to catch COVID-19, to catch the coronavirus here. Just wonder what it means for Houston and how quickly he'll be able to recover.
Yeah, I don't know what this means. So he's quarantined for how many days, Bonte? Do we have the specifics on that?
It seems like he's going to be quarantined for probably 2 weeks. I'm guessing 2 weeks.
So in 2 weeks, they
he hadn't made it down to the bubble yet. So, that's
so he hasn't
thing.
Made it down to the bubble. But yeah. I guess the first games don't start till July 30th, if memory
July
holds.
30th.
So there's some wiggle room here. They've got some time. The key is they can't let someone who's tested positive into that bubble. That's right. The key. Once they get everybody in the bubble and we're good to go, I feel like, again, it's not perfect. There's going to be some hiccups. But it feels like we're getting this thing going, and I'm excited and optimistic it's gonna actually work. I'm nervous that other guys are gonna test positive right before they're about to step into this bubble and kind of delay some of my anticipation and my excitement.
Yeah, and I got that same excitement. I got to tell you, I was sending a text to all three of you, producer Kyle Spadoni, and I'm thinking, I hope these guys don't take this the wrong way. But as my weekend was coming to a climax yesterday, I'm driving home from Pop's house, and I say to myself, man, we hadn't, and I don't want to sound selfish, fellas, but I am getting excited for sports coming back, and I hope it does happen. But I said, we hadn't had any positive tests in any of the three major sports. I just went, just came through my mind, had a couple drinks, but it went through my mind, and I was like, yes, I wake up Monday morning, and here we go. Lo and behold, Bonte, breaking news. It's Russ Westbrook, Bishaski, and Bonte. I guess it's sooner. It's better that they have it sooner than later. Russ will get better,
right.
And then we're back ready. And at least at the bubble exposing other teammates.
Yeah, right. And I think one of the things that again, there's no delicate way of talking about this, but we do have to have some acceptance that there will be some positives.
There you
now,
go.
Now, I don't know what the level of acceptance is. I don't know what that threshold is, but we've seen it in the MLS. They're in a bubble, and guys have tested positive. They've removed certain players. One team had to basically postpone or forfeit a game a couple of days ago. So it's going to be kind of choppy and clunky, and they're just going to do the best they can to piecemeal this thing to get it going. And we're either, as sports fans, going to have to justify or compartmentalize that we're okay with a positive test here and there and a player being removed, or we're not. And that's up to the individual to kind of compartmentalize for themselves. I'm okay with it as long as they're okay with it, the athletes that are being subjected to it. And I'm hoping that everything continues to go in the right direction. I'm going to remain optimistic and positive. That's my thought process.
Same here. I woke up Sunday morning, and I was texting with Shasky. We had our thread going on. I asked Shasky, where can I find the golf? I was jonesing for anything.
Wow.
Jonesing. I'm watching Premier League. Tottenham getting a big win in the North London Derby over Arsenal. I was happy about that. I'm watching a little NASCAR out there in Kentucky. Kentucky Speedway. I'm fiending for anything. And the fact that we are 10 days away from baseball and basketball 17 days away, I am itching and getting excited myself. I'm thinking, oh boy, in a month. In just over two weeks, we're going to have sports on all day, which means, you know what? For the most part, us sports fanatics, we've been able to wait this out, this pandemic out. And I know there's a lot of work to be done with the pandemic, a lot of work. We still got to find a vaccine. We still got to control this thing. I still need people to wear their mask outside and practice social distancing. But the fact that we're 10 days away from possibly opening day in baseball for a 60-game season, Guru, I'm tingling, man. I'm really tingling here about sports coming back.
I'm starting to tingle.
I'm with you. And I'm going to say this about baseball. It'll feel more normal with no fans that they're playing in their home yard. Remember, for one time, I thought they were going to be at their own version of a bubble. That's NBA. But we'll get baseball where we'll see the Giants and A's in their home yard. I'm ready for it. And, Butch, I said this, and I'll sum it up. No matter what happens, if they all fail and got to pull the plug, I tip the cap to all the commissioners because we heard Silver say we don't know what to expect. But obviously, if this thing, the virus gets out of hand, at least you tried. And at the end of the day, regular folk, professional folk, that's all you can do. You tried to put the show on.
Yeah, you know, I think there's – for me, I'm doing the best – again, I sound insane. I'm trying to compartmentalize certain things here.
It's hard.
The key for me is no hospitalizations of any players, right? I think once there's a hospitalization of a player, then I'm going to look at this entire situation differently because right now we haven't had that happen. We really haven't. We've been very lucky. Maybe we're tempting fate. I do not know. But there's a difference between testing positive and maybe feeling some of the effects and then being hospitalized. So I don't want anyone to be hospitalized. No one does. That, for me, is kind of my differentiator. And I hope Russ gets better. I hope he's good to go and he can go back into the bubble and we can continue forward.
Real quick, we were talking about the top 10 list here. Matt Bum at number 10. Damon Radakowski going to announce number 9 at 3:30. You guys have any guess on who number 9 is? Number 9. Who you guys think will be at number 9?
Wow.
I'm going Steve Young.
I was just – all right, Bonte, so you took mine. Go ahead, Steve Young. Come on. Number 9.
I like how he asks the question and then answers his own question.
Whoa, you guys paused, man. You hesitated.
No Westbrook's over here. No Westbrook.
Let's go, baby. Monday morning. Y'all out here sleep at the wheel.
I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to say – man, for number 9, I'm going to say that it's going to end up being Terrell Owens because I saw Terrell Owens on a lot of people's lists. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I think that player gets a lot of love and a lot of clicks on social media. So I think it's going to be T.O. I'm going to go in Terrell Owens' direction.
And I'm going to shock you real quick, Phil.
It would be worthy. High.
He's worthy, though, man.
He is, but it's a little high because, look, Tim Brown and T.O. had very comparable outputs when it comes to the Bay Area. When it comes to their
actual
roster,
but you knew who the better
data.
Receiver was, though, Shasky.
Of course. I'm not here.
And I love Tim Brown. But
I already have a receiver on the list, so I look at quarterback different than I look at any other position. You can have multiple quarterbacks on there. I can't have multiple wide receivers. Like, Jerry's my one. That's the one I'm holding in the top 10 because other sports and other positions and they need to be acknowledged as well. So it's just really hard. Like, to Bonte's original point, there's just so many deserving candidates.
And I read a lot of comments, Bonte, and I'm going to take a long shot, and I'm going to say it's Klay Thompson. A lot of people were asking, where's Klay?
Wow.
And I'm going to say Klay could come in at number 9.
Could KD be in there?
I'm going to just throw it out there.
KD
might
be in there.
He could be in there. But for me, it just, who am I? But
Klay,
something just ain't right. It was just too easy. I don't know. That's so unfair of me, man.
You say KD around here, it's like a curse word. You know what I'm saying?
I love KD.
I love KD, but man, the ending there.
Did you show him love in those press conferences, though?
All the time. All the time. Come on, KD's my guy. KD's my guy. There's a photo real quick before we hit the break. There's a photo at Media Day where I'm looking at KD and I'm teasing ear to ear. My girl says, babe, you never smile at me like that. What the hell is your problem? It's like, well, it's Kevin Durant. It's one of the greatest players in the world, babe. I'm sorry, man. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Bay Alarm. We'll talk more top 10 lists. We'll talk about the Washington football team. And we'll talk Seahawks and Niners because Joe Fan will join us at 11:30. And he think there is a chance the Hawks may sweep the 49ers. We'll get into that coming up here on 95.7 The Game. Daryl DeGuru Johnson, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, and for Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill, and it's all sponsored by Bay Alarm. When it comes to looking out for your business, Bay Alarm brings the best, like professionally monitored video verification, proven to catch crooks and prevent false alarms. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Now, more than ever, Bay Alarm.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Sean Manaea is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Starting pitch for the Oakland A's. We'll see what's going on in athletics camp over there at the Coliseum. Matt Olson, Matt Chapman. In the Oakland A's, expected to do big things this season. I want to bring up something that I totally forgot about this. I want to push back the Niners and Seahawks talk and Jamal Adams and Antonio Brown, of course, Joe Fan, who covers the Seahawks up there in NBC Sports Northwest. He'll join us at 11:30 to talk about that. Guru, Shasky brought up something in the pre-show meeting that was very, very intriguing, and it just shows how far away the Giants are. He brought up the fact that if you looked at every positional player on the diamond, who would you take? Who's better, basically? You look at both rosters, the Giants and the A's, right? You look at third base, you give the advantage to the A's. You look at shortstop, you probably give the advantage to the A's. You look at second base, you probably give the advantage to the Oakland A's. What I'm saying is, could the Giants have one player on their starting in their starting lineup that could start for the Oakland A's? I didn't even think about that. That's how bad right now the Giants are looking on paper.
And that's why I was telling you and Shasky, you know, and I love Farhan, but, you know, proof is in the pudding. And I'm not knocking or grading any of the moves that he's doing down on the farms. But I'm just like, at the end of the day, it's about the big club. How long do you guys give this thing to get turned around? Because to me, it just looks like, what do they talk about when I saw you working on your basement, Shasky, a house? This looks like a big, big project. Like you gotta tear it down and then come build it back up. I don't know if we're just in the process of the teardown and Buster Posey and those question marks still being a part of it. I mean, man, this looks like a big, big job, bigger than 2 years, Shasky.
My grandfather has a saying, whenever you're going to do a remodel, right, bathroom, kitchen, whatever it is, whatever the time frame you think it is, just chalk on another 2 to 3 weeks because things get delayed. Stuff happens. And I think that same thing can be said for the Giants right now. Look, they were stuck with these positional players that they had, and we just had to bite the bullet. And you know what? It's the compensation package on the back end, if you will, the retribution for winning 3 championships and clinging to hope that organization of guys was going to win another one when clearly a lot of them were in decline. So this is what we have to go through. It's okay. If you told me I got to wait 4 or 5 more years and this thing's going to cycle back up and they're going to be in contention again, I'm ready for it. Like, I'm frustrated. I would like them to be in contention every single year. But the way things are set up financially, it's physically impossible right now. And it takes time for Farhan's guys to come up too, Guru. You can't just expect immediate success for all these guys. It's the little victories. The back end of the roster movement. Moving off of guys quickly. Acquiring dudes for guys that you picked up for nothing. Like this year, you're going to see Drew Smyly get moved at the deadline. You know why? Because Farhan's a master at squeezing the lemon on somebody who has no value anywhere else and getting that undesirable prospect in your organization who becomes Mauricio Dubon, who becomes Jalen Davis and guys like that. So I actually have a lot of faith in Farhan. The area I'm really concerned is just him picking the manager. That's my only thus far.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But it's just fascinating. You look at the A's roster. They're loaded.
Monte.
They're loaded. I mean, I feel like going to the sports book right now and dropping some dollars on them to win the AL West. Now, I know Houston is still in the division. They're going to make a run for it. The Angels are still down there in SoCal. They're going to just try to outslug it because I don't believe in their pitching. And then we'll see what the Texas Rangers do, but they're always a threat, that hot heat in Arlington. I know they have the new dome and a new roof, and the stadium looks like a damn warehouse on the outside, but looks pretty on the inside. The A's, I mean, they have so many guys who could come over to the other side of the bay and just start for the Giants. The Giants, there's not one player, maybe Johnny Cueto, maybe, that could start for the Oakland A's.
Yaz and right field. Yaz, maybe. Maybe Yaz. Maybe Yaz. I'm like Yaz a little bit. That might be the closest one. Hey, I want to ask you two something about the Giants, and it got me thinking Friday, honestly, when you guys said, when was the last homegrown outfielder, which I took as like stud. They've never really had a Ricky Henderson since Bonds or a guy that came up through the farm system. And even in 10 and 12 when they were on top, it's almost amazing, and I go to Bruce Bochy as being the one constant, how they got to 3 years, the 3 rings in 5 years. I say all that to say, have they been betrayed by the body type of the players that they had? Nobody saw Matt Cain falling off a cliff. Nobody saw Lincecum. Even Panda overcame his weight issues. They never, outside of Buster Posey, fellas, they never really had that – that just bona fide, DNA stud. And I look at Crawford, who's gotten older, a little faster for my liking. You look at Belt, who looked like Tarzan, but you never got those results. It's kind of like the Giants front office has got burned by this type of player that basically are players that have got older just a little faster than normal.
They de-emphasized athleticism for about 15 years. I mean, that's the baseline of it.
Like,
they did. That's what they did. I mean, if you just look at the players that they were drafting, they were very specific. They play one position, whereas I think a lot of other GMs around the league look at positional versatility, Billy Beane being one of them. I mean, think of all the different guys that bounce around the infield and outfield for their teams, and think about how the Cubs are constructing their roster or the Houston Astros. Thought process has changed a lot. The other element is that just in the last 5 years, baseball training has taken a whole nother evolution when it comes to body type, specific nutritional training with the regimented TrackMans and different video technology that they have now to really truly understand the science behind the swing and how to field and things like that. So I think a lot of these guys are from a prior era. Like, they literally came up in another era. So they're older players, right, and they're just slower to adapt to the newer technologies. Dave Fleming had a long podcast that I listened over the weekend where he's basically citing this one specific thing, that the Giants were just really, really behind on basic nutrition and training.
Wow. Well, they should have went to Barry Bonds' house for that, right? Yeah,
oh,
Barry
look
Bonds
at me.
Was on top of it.
Well, they went in another direction after him. I agree.
Barry B.
Bonds, yeah.
Right. We were talking so much about Buster Posey last Friday. Obviously, Buster Posey opted out of the 2020 season. Had twin girls, adopted twin girls with his wife, Kristen. Of course, they were born premature, but they're doing really, really well. Buster Posey, well, you got to tip your cap to him. He's doing the right thing. Family first. But he was coming into the season as basically the face of the franchise. I mean, the face of the clubhouse, the leader of the clubhouse. But I think in the face of the franchise, I think it's Farhad Zaidi. I think it's the baton has been passed from Larry Bear to Farhad Zaidi. But who in that clubhouse, fellas, is the leader? When you think, we know the A's. They got a slew of leaders, right? Bob Melvin, Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Ramon Laureano, Chris Davis. They got numerous guys who could step up in that clubhouse and be the voice of the club. Marcus Semien, how can I forget? Star shortstop for them, all-star last year. But who are the Giants now? Is the guy in the clubhouse? Like, it's a who's who. It's probably not Panda. Who is it, Shasky? Who is it, Guru?
Yeah. I think it's Brandon Crawford.
This is great.
I think Brandon Crawford has been... There was a time you could say Brandon Crawford was the best everyday player on the Giants. That was like 2014, 15. Like, when he was in his real sweet spot, he was unbelievable defensively. I thought he set the tone by playing over 150 games every single year. And then his bat was so streaky that when he would go on one of his rolls, I mean, it was infectious. Up and down the lineup, it was different when Crawford was hot. I don't think he's that same player, but I do still think they draw inspiration from his elite defense up the middle of that diamond. He's probably the longest tenured everyday Giant. I know Brandon Belt is, but Crawford is right now. You know, he's got the longest tenure, and also I think he's got the credibility. Like, I still think he can still pick it at shortstop, and I know the bat's not there, but there's something to be said about playing every single day, being available, and just being a plus defender. The other guys ride with you when you're that type of a leader at shortstop.
Shasky, I'll say this, and Bonte, great question. His defense has slipped a little bit, and I won't say it's because of, the physicalness. I just think it's mental. I just think it's that ballpark. Sometimes I look at Brandon Crawford, who I agree with you. I thought he was the next star. Something's happened. And if you're not the leader by now and they're in the twilight of their career and you look around the infield, it's nothing but older guys, it's got to be Gabe Kapler. And it's got to be Gabe Kapler now, because he got a pass with this Buster Posey where he was going to bat, taking, stuff from the fans if there was a backlash. And the fact that now you got that off of your tray, all you want to do is have a team that fights for 27 outs. You may not get W's, but if Kapler does his thing right, he'll be around a lot longer than Belt, Crawford, and the rest of the gang. So to me, fellas, he's got to be that leader. And there are question marks about when he got hired. We talked about it. So he's kind of starting behind the A ball. But this is a time for him, when nobody's expecting the Giants to do squat in 60 games, for him to kind of put – he'll never tell you – his you know, managerial prowess up beyond the team. He won't do that. He can't do that because he's not hitting and swinging. But there's a way we'll watch and identify if Kapler has control of this ball club.
Interesting.
I think for year number one this year, I think Gabe Kapler's going to kind of just try to fit into the organization, try to fit into the clubhouse. Because, look, it didn't end well in Philadelphia. We know how his introductory presser was.
He had talent, too.
I mean, he was basically on the defensive about something that happened in 2016, Gabe Kapler. He wasn't even asked about managing the Giants. You know, he was asked about an entirely different situation. So I think Gabe Kapler's going to kind of just kind of fill everything out this first season, just kind of let the veterans kind of run the show, and that's why I lean towards Hunter Pitts. And I know Hunter Pitts wasn't here last year, but he's a fan favorite, and for some reason, and look, trust me, I see Shasky giving me the stank look, giving me the dance face, basically.
That's got the hair going today.
Shasky knows me, Guru, you know me. I'm not a big Hunter Pitts guy. I'm really not. When he trotted around on a scooter in his last game at Oracle Park back in, 2017, when they got smoked by the Dodgers 15-0, I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was rock bottom for this franchise. I thought it was unbelievable, just tone deaf to let this guy parade out around on a scooter when you get battered by your rival 15-0 in the last game of the season. But when I think about how everybody put so much stock into his speech in Cincinnati when the Giants were down 0-2 in 2012. Oh, Hunter Pitts in his speech. I'm saying, though, but he's the outspoken guy. They love the scooter, the kale guard, everything about it. I just feel like he's the most outspoken in that clubhouse, and I think they're going to look at Hunter Pence as the veteran, as the guy who, hey, he's going to teach the young guys. He's been in the league a long time. I just think Crawford's too quiet. Belt's too quiet. So I think I lean towards Hunter Pence when it comes to being the leader of the clubhouse this season.
Yeah, a couple things. You can't lead when you're a platoon player who got a minor league contract and you haven't even made the team yet. That's number one. Number two is there are no young guys this 40-man roster. There's literally none. There are no young players on the 40-man roster. There are on the taxi squad, but there are none on this. They're all pretty much either established big leaguers or guys that are journeymen fighting for their baseball careers. That's what it is. And so I think they're going to gravitate towards someone like Brandon Crawford, who plays every single day, isn't rah-rah, but leads by example. It's just different. It's very, very different.
Hunter Pitts is going to play every day because you got the universal DH, and now you don't have
Eder. He was an all-star last year.
Whether we like it or not, he was an all-star.
Go up and hit.
Right now, we don't even know if he's going to be on the roster. We will see. Again, it's really hard to be rah-rah guy.
If he can't make this roster, it's time to retire.
He's making it, B. Shasky, he's arguably one of your better players. Just after, he's making this. He's started already. Run out there to right field.
We'll see. On Crawford, though, guys, you're talking about the defense slipping a little?
Yeah, just a little, Shasky.
This is what I think I've seen. And maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to hear your opinion. I think the shift has dramatically changed how Brandon Crawford plays baseball, because he's so accustomed to playing that one position so well. He understands his range, where to be. The shift has fundamentally changed how a lot of these guys who came up in the old school. I don't mind it. It's an adjustment. I just think it's really hard for someone like Crawford, who's not your traditional athlete. Like Francisco Lindor, you throw him anywhere on the diamond, the dude's going to find a way to ball out. He's going to be a stud. When you've been doing one thing the whole way your entire career, I just think it's really hard. And the Giants kind of changed up last year late how they were doing some of their shifts to accommodate Brandon Crawford more and keep him in that shortstop spot. Slide the third baseman over onto the second side of the second base side. So I do. I really do. I think the shift has kind of minimized how great Crawford was on defense. I don't think he slipped that much. I just think his role's changed. I think
he's not old. I just saw more errors, you know. Vontae, I had him up there. He was hit to me. That 14 World Series, B. Craw was.
I hear you.
I mean, dude, man.
But he's a lifetime 249 hitter. You know what I'm saying? It was like he was never that great. And he had the one year where he hit, 21 home runs? He's
led the team.
In the 10 to 14 range. And that's not saying nothing. Barry Bonds still, Shasky, you always say it. Barry Bonds hit 28 this last season. No Giant has hit 28 since. I mean, come on, man. So, but that says a lot about this organization right now. They're desperate for some of this young talent to hurry up and get to the major leagues. And I know you don't want to rush them. But it does seem like it is tailor-made for when Joey Bart gets promoted. he will be the guy in the clubhouse. He will be the guy leading it. Luciano, Dubon, hopefully. Yeah, Dubon coming over from Milwaukee last year. But guys like that, Ramos, this is going to be their organization. There's really no, like, we all had different answers here. Kapler, Crawford, Pitts. I think it just goes to show you where this organization is at right now.
Well, Bonte, I think there's going to be just a giant vacuum. There's going to be a power void, right? There's going to be a leadership void across the board. It'll be interesting to see if Gabe Kapler's even here when a lot of these guys start to come back up. I mean, we don't know. Wow. We really don't know. But I think it's set up brilliantly because you're not going to have any carryover. You're not going to have this is my team guy who's going to be kind of suppressing individuality or someone else's leadership. Like, I think this is set up really well. I think they're going to be in a good spot when this next void comes flying up through the ranks.
And tell me if this is a low blow, but this is how I was raised, and this is how I think it goes down. Can you really have a leader when you're not that good of a team? And I'm hoping the Giants, you know, go 40 wins, but I'm just saying where they're at now, mired in pretty much last place. Do you have a leader when you stink? Like if we, you know what I mean?
I think
what's that look like? You know, what's that look like?
Like, I mean, let's look at the Niners, right? They stunk, right? But you can kind of see Buckner becoming sort of that leader. Joe Staley, sort of that leader there on a terrible, terrible squad. He was a veteran there. They stunk, but Joe Staley still led by example. You can kind of point to him being a leader. Bryant Young, who loves his show. Those mid-2000s teams stunk. But Bryant Young was still a leader. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's what it looks like there.
Well, I think it's really hard for someone like a Yaz who's trying to establish themselves. They're not even like a permanent solution. It's really hard for someone like that to be the leader. Like it's usually someone who has tenure, who has accomplishments, achievements, pelts on the wall, and someone who plays every day. Like unless you're a legend, like if you're Willie Mays, you can sit on the bench and you can help lead the team. It's really hard for someone like Hunter Pence, he's a good player, had a great career, you know, but like not a legend of the game by any stretch.
No,
so,
of course not.
Who knows? He might end up being the leader. Who knows?
But you know how this fan base overrates players. Shasky, we're both Giants fans. Guru, you've been watching the Giants for a long time. Giants fans, we overrate our Giants. Hence why Brandon Belt was considered one of the best first basemen in baseball. I mean, I thought people were smoking dope. People were smoking dope. Yeah, he looked apart, but come on. But that's Giants fans. We overrate our old. Every fan base does that, for crying out loud. We all overrate our players. I just think Hunter Pitts. Yeah, he's probably going to be – he's probably not going to play every day, right? But the universal DH helps him to where he can see at-bats every single night.
I don't want him DHing.
Who you going to have?
I want him taking at-bats.
Yeah, but I think you're down on him. Last year.
I just want to see Jalen Davis and Dickerson get these opportunities. Like, there's only so many outfield spots for these guys to play. I don't need to see 38-year-old Hunter Pence. The whole point of bringing Pence in was, hey, it's a 162-game season. I've got a lot of fans that want to see him play. We need to drive up ticket sales. Like, that made sense as a business strategy. From a baseball standpoint in this sprint, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I'm not outraged. It's just I don't want to see Hunter Pence. I'm done seeing Hunter Pence.
I don't blame you for that. I don't want to see Hunter Pitts either. But the fact is he's here. He's
option?
In a Giants uniform. And you imagine the PR that they would get by cutting Hunter Pitts? This fan base glorifies Hunter Pitts. The guy's going to be on the Wall of Fame, for crying out loud. He's going to be on the Wall of Fame outside of Oracle Park, whether we like it or not. But I got a feeling that he's going to play coming off that All-Star appearance last season. Real quick. When it comes to the organization, do you guys both agree that maybe Farhan now is the face of the organization and Larry Bear is kind of taking that back step? Or how do you guys feel about that?
I can't even remember the last time I heard Bear's name. So I'm going to say, yes, Farhan is in control. But I just wanted to add one thing. I'll leave you with this real quick about the 60-game season. We know that the Giant players got to take advantage of these 60 games and get off to a good start. It would affect everybody. But we saw the S show with Gabe Kapler. Is somehow the Giants can just compete and be competitive early on, I think it would benefit him more from a public standpoint than anybody else on the team as far as players. It'll look like, okay, Gabe, you did pretty good for yourself managing this team in a short 60-game stint.
Larry Bear, I still think, has pull behind the scenes. Again, I have nothing to substantiate that other than my gut. I think the guy's been running the Giants for so long, it's going to be really hard for someone like him who's had all that control and power for so many years to not have some influence.
Right.
Is he controlling every single rock? No, I don't think that at all. I do think Farhan has, for the most part, autonomy on a lot of things. But something like Hunter Pence, I bet Larry Bear was like nudging him in the right direction and saying, hey, you know, it wouldn't be bad. I think both parties can find it amicable. So I think he's in the discussion. I don't think he runs the day-to-day when it comes to the baseball roster and the decisions with the same kind of, hovering over that he used
right.
to.
Right.
You think no because of that episode, Bonte? You just Shasky, you think the episode he had?
Absolutely. Okay. But
it's over, but it ain't gone away.
He's been coming out publicly, slowly but surely. He's been finding his way to that microphone on the diamond, and he had a good Q&A with Kerry Crowley from the Bay Area News Group, the pride of Sandy Nations, of course, Kerry Crowley, Giants insider for the Bay Area News Group. He talked to him over the weekend. Really good stuff from Larry Bear to hear him speak about where the team is going and where this organization, the direction it's headed in. So we'll talk more about the Giants a little bit later. Don't forget Sean Manaea at 1 p.m. We'll get into the Oakland A's because there's a lot of expectations over there in the town about what the A's can do in the 60-game season. But let's talk about the Niners here. There's some stuff here with Jamal Adams, Raheem Mostert, George Kittle. We'll talk about his Madden rating. And Antonio Brown, of course, Joe Fan will join us at 11:30 to talk about the Seahawks and 49ers right here on BSNG. Daryl DeGuru Johnson, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, and Bonte Hill. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.